Hello listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of the Conspiracy Vault. This instalment features 9 hikers, a treacherous path, and several theories including UFOs, government experiments, avalanches, and the Yeti. Our story starts in February of 1959, when a group of 10 experienced hikers, almost all students or graduates from the Ural Polytechnical Institute in Russia, embarked on a journey to reach their Level 3 hikers certification, the highest accreditation of its type at the time. These 8 men and 2 women aimed to reach Otorten Mountain with 23-year-old radio engineering student Igor Dyatlov as their trusted leader. The local native tribe of the Ural Mountain area, the Manzi tribe, had nicknamed this place in their native tongue. In English, it could be translated to Dead Mountain. This nickname came mostly from the knowledge that there wasn't much game to hunt on this treacherous rock. Thus, the Manzi tribe mostly stayed away. Otorten could be located in the Ural Mountains of Russia, and after travelling north by train and lorry, the group arrived in the village of Bizau on January 25, 1959. This village was the last known inhabited settlement this far north. On January 27th, the group headed out on their expedition, choosing to take the most difficult route to the top of the mountain, categorised at a level 3 difficulty. Thanks to the Dark Histories video on YouTube, I gathered the following information. The names of the 10 hikers were Igor Dyatlov, the leader of the expedition, who had supposedly built his own stove and radio, which he brought along on the trip. Yuri Doroshenko, a 21-year-old radio engineer. Apparently he had chased down a bear in a previous trip. He was also supposedly the ex-romantic partner of one of the ladies on the hiking trip who was now dating Igor Dyatlov. Ludmila Dubanina. Only 20 years old, she was the youngest of the group. Studying economics at the institute, Dubanina was supposedly shot once on another hiking expedition by a hiker cleaning his firearm. Yuri Krivonoshenko, 23-year-old construction student, he was described as the class clown. Alexander Kolevatov, 24-year-old student of nuclear physics. Kolevatov had previously worked with the secret Soviet service, who were involved in the Soviet nuclear industry prior to his involvement in the institute. Zinaida Kolmogorova, 22-year-old radio engineering student and also supposedly romantically involved with expedition leader Igor Dyatlov. Rustem Slobodin, another 23-year-old graduate of the institute. He was qualified in mechanical engineering. Nikolai Brignol, 23-year-old graduate of the institute, with a degree in civil construction, known as the caregiver of the group, the patient one always offering a helping hand. He had promised his parents this would be his last major hike. Alexander Zolotayov, the only one not from the Ural Polytechnical Institute, the 38-year-old veteran was now a hiking instructor and joined the team to strengthen his degree and become a master instructor. Yuri Yudin, 21-year-old economics student who suffered from rheumatism. Igor Dyatlov had supposedly told a local sports club that he expected his group to return to Vizal on February 12th. Many believe Dyatlov made the decision in case they needed a search party. Using borrowed horses, the group made their way to an abandoned geologist's village where they made an overnight camp. The next day, one of the members, Yuri Yudin, began experiencing problems with his knees and joints due to his rheumatism and couldn't continue with the journey. He headed back to Vizal to await the return of his peers. This left the group 9 members strong. According to archmdmag.com, diaries and cameras found around their last camp made it possible to track the group's route up to the preceding of the incident. On January 31st, with temperatures dropping as low as 24 degrees centigrade, or 75 Fahrenheit, or minus 4.4 Celsius, the group arrived at the edge of a highland area and began preparing for climbing. In a woody valley, they built a storage for surplus food and equipment which they would use for the trip back. It was here that the group made a base camp, dropping off anything that wasn't necessary to the rest of their difficult journey ahead. Carrying only essentials, the group headed out. On the following day, February 1st, the hikers started to move through the pass. It seems they planned to get over the pass and make camp for the next night on the opposite side, but because of the worsening weather conditions, snowstorms, and decreasing visibility, they lost their direction and deviated west, upwards towards the top of Koulatsiakul. When they realised their mistake, the group decided to stop and set up camp there on the slope of the mountain. Many believe the group may not have wanted to lose the progress they had made by going back on themselves to redirect and regroup. The final diary entry found in a collective diary the group were keeping read, "Wind is strong. Snow cover is 1.22 metres. Tired and exhausted, we started the preparations for the night. Not enough firewood. Frail damp furs. We started fire with logs. Too tired to dig a fire pit. We had supper in the tent. It's warm. It's hard to imagine such a comfort somewhere on the ridge with the piercing winds hundreds of kilometres away from human settlements." It had been agreed beforehand that Dyatlov would send a telegraph to their sports club as soon as the group had returned to Vizal. When this did not happen, there was no immediate reaction. Those on the ground gave the hikers a chance to return, but after no sign of the group by February 20th, the Russian army and police force began conducting searches. Helicopters and planes were dispatched to help with the search, and eventually, friends and family would join them, and so would the locals. What searchers eventually found on February 26th was like a scene from a horror movie, and to this day, it still baffles many. An abandoned campsite was found on Dead Mountain, and it included a badly damaged tent, with rips and tears, and one side of the tent was entirely covered by snow. Bare footprints could be seen leading away from the tent in different directions before the prints eventually were lost to fresh snow. Forensic analysis determined that the tent was ripped from the inside out. This was authenticated by the way in which the threads in the tent material were positioned after the damage. The tent was found to have the group's belongings inside, including the group's clothes, cameras, boots and money. A set of skis and Dyatlov's coat were found outside the tent, sticking out from the fresh snow. They also found a flashlight that was not damaged in any way and seemed to be working perfectly fine. The search party followed the footprints the next day down the mountainside towards a tree line. Here they found evidence of a small fire that had once burned underneath the cedar trees. It was by this fire that the party would discover two of the 9 members of the expedition. Both were deceased. Yuri Doroshenko and Yuri Krivonoshenko. Both bodies were not dressed for the outside. Neither were wearing boots. Doroshenko had a short-sleeved shirt and shorts and socks. Krivonoshenko was wearing a long-sleeved shirt, underwear, and only one sock on his left foot. They were both found with burnt hands and feet. The tree next to them had broken branches up to 17 feet high. Some of these branches were covered in blood and had skin embedded in the bark as though someone had frantically tried to climb up. Doroshenko's underwear was torn, and he had liver mortis spots on the back of his neck, suggesting he must have been moved after death. His head was also burnt, and blood was found covering his face and ears. He was bruised entirely on his upper body, even under his armpits. He was also said to have a grey foam coming from his mouth, which would be indicative of trauma to his chest. Despite this, his cause of death was said to be hypothermia. Krivonoshenko was also badly bruised, and flesh from the back of his hand was found inside his mouth. Cause of death was also determined to be hypothermia. Not long after, the search party would find an additional 3 bodies, also deceased, between the campsite and the tree line. The 3 bodies belonged to Igor Dyatlov, Zinaida Komogrova, and Rustin Slobodin. Dyatlov was said to be dressed but without shoes on. His fists were supposedly clenched by his chest. Zinaida appeared to be better dressed, wearing layers of sweaters and many pairs of socks, but she still had no footwear. Rustin Slobodin also donned many layers of clothing and one boot. There was speculation around whether these 3 had taken the clothes from the first 2 hikers, given how little those first 2 were dressed in. Doctors suggested later that all 5 died from hypothermia, although one had a fractured skull. Dyatlov also looked as though he attempted to return to the camp as he was found separately, over 1,100 feet on the slope. Dyatlov was also bruised all over, but his cause of death was determined to be hypothermia. Komogorova's body was bruised, with cuts to her face. She was missing skin on the back of her right hand, and a 29-centimeter bruise could be seen along her torso. Cause of death again was hypothermia. Slobodin had bruises and cuts, facial hemorrhages, a bloody nose, and a fractured skull. Despite this, he was still listed to have died from hypothermia. A few months later, Once the snow had begun to thaw in the warmer spring temperatures, the rest of the hiking group would be found. On the 4th of May 1959, the remaining four bodies were located under 4 meters of snow in a shallow ravine under 1,000 meters from the tree line. Many speculate that these four attempted to dig a snow shelter to protect themselves from the elements, that perhaps it even caved in and buried them. Alexander Zolotaryov, Nikolai Brinyol, Alexander Kolevatov, Lubnina Dubanina were found well-dressed. Zolotaryov had a hat, scarf and shoes. He was found with a camera under his clothing, a pen in one hand and a notepad in the other. Supposedly, the film was water-damaged. Yuri Yudin would later say that all the cameras the group took with them were found in the tent and accounted for, but this camera? He said he had no knowledge of it and had never seen it before. Zolotaryov was found with his eyeballs missing, facial tissue from his left eyebrow missing, and his skull bone showing. He had every single rib on his right side broken. This is the first person to have a cause of death as fatal injury. Brinyol had a hat, scarf and shoes. Kolevatov had no hat or shoes, but did have many layers of clothing. Dubnina was wearing two sweaters, and another which she had torn in half to wrap around her feet. Brinyol had multiple skull fractures, and the cause of death was determined as fatal injury. Kolevatov had no soft tissue around his eyes, and his skull was entirely exposed. He had gaping wounds on his ears and face and a deformed neck. Cause of death was still listed as hypothermia. Dubanina was found with flesh missing from her nose, eyes and cheeks. She had no eyeballs, a broken nose and her tongue was missing. Again, her right side ribs were broken. She had multiple ribs broken on her left side too. She suffered a heart hemorrhage and blood in her stomach was found, suggesting her tongue was removed when she was still alive. Cause of death was listed as fatal injuries. To make matters even stranger, several items of clothing tested positive for radiation, and there was reportedly traces of radiation around the campsite. The official investigation found that the group had died 6 to 8 hours after their last meal, between 11:30 p.m. and 1:30 a.m., and that they all left the tent willingly. No other footprints were found indicating that they had been alone. Six were listed as having hypothermia as official cause of death, and three others died from fatal injuries that were supposedly not caused by another human, as it wasn't possible for a person to inflict injuries such as these, and that these types of injuries were closely related to the injuries seen after a car crash. So what theories are there about how the group ended up half-clothed, with eyeballs missing in the middle of a snowstorm mountainside? Theory 1. There was an avalanche. Many have speculated that perhaps there was an avalanche on the mountain, that the rumbling may have caused the group to flee, half-dressed and ill-equipped, into the snow, cutting the tent from the inside out. However, this doesn't explain why the footprints could be found months later and why the tent was only half covered in snow. Theory 2. Paradoxical hypothermia, a phenomenon that causes the person with hypothermia to feel hot as if they are burning up, which may have caused them to strip off their clothes and run into the snow trying to cool down. However, some have stated it would be strange for all 9 members to experience paradoxical hypothermia at the same time. Theory 3. The Soviets were testing missiles. There were reports of the Soviet tested parachutes bombs near the Ural Mountains. This could perhaps explain the radiation and injuries to the hikers, but there were no records of missile launches during the time of the hike. Theory 4. The military were involved. According to Yuri Yudin, the hiker who had to turn back due to joint issues, when the searchers recovered the items at the campsite, there were items that Yudin could not identify. According to Yudin, there were skis, glasses and military-looking cloth that did not belong to any of the 9 hikers who tragically lost their lives. Theory 5. The Yeti. A photo developed from one of the cameras shows an image in the snow of a large black shadow. It looks like the outline of a man, but the man is huge. One of the last diary entries found with the group also said, quote, "Now we know snowmen exist," which could be the Yeti, but could also be Theory 6. The Manzi tribe. If these locals live in these types of conditions and know the mountain well enough, perhaps the group were ambushed or joined by the Manzi natives, which they described as the snowmen. However, the Manzi tribe were not known to be violent or territorial, and there were no unidentified footprints anywhere near the camp or bodies, possibly ruling out the Manzi tribe and the Yeti. Theory 7. UFOs or aliens. There had been several reports of apparent sightings through February and March of bright flying spheres in the sky. Perhaps this would explain the radiation and the strange tint of orange to the deceased bodies. Theory 8. Another strange phenomenon known as infrasound. Apparently, when the wind around the mountain blows in a certain way, it creates a Kármán vortex street effect which produces infrasound. This has been known to cause panic attacks and to have mental and physical effects on the body. Perhaps disorientated and unsure if they were in danger, the group ripped open the tent to flee. Perhaps the noise came in like a crash, causing the group to think that there was an oncoming avalanche. Theory 9. Wild animals. Some speculate that the cause of injuries and loss of eyeballs and tongue could have been from animals. It is true that brown bears can be found further north on the mountain, but there were no animal tracks. Also, this particular mountain was named Dead Mountain because the Manzi tribe who rarely hunted there due to lack of game. Theory 10. Partying. Perhaps the group were drinking and things got out of hand. This is a theory that would make a lot of sense in some ways, but I don't think it holds much ground. This was a group of experienced hikers who left all non-essentials at base camp. There was supposedly one small bottle of rubbing alcohol in a first aid kit, but that was found sealed by the search team. People have speculated that the Soviets were a proud nation who may have covered up the fact that 9 well-known citizens had disgraced the name of Russia and the expedition by drinking. The Soviet authorities sent officials to watch over the investigation and put constant pressure on the investigators, crime scene experts and pathologists to close the case. They also ensured that the campsite area remained closed for 3 years after the incident. This only furthered theories that the Soviets were somehow behind the events on this day. Another reason that this theory has held up is because of Yuri Yarovoy, a Russian writer. A section on an article on amnationalistcouncil.com reads, "In 1967, Russian writer and journalist Yuri Yarovoy published a novel entitled Of the Highest Rank of Complexity, which he based on this incident. He had actually been involved in the search for the group and the inquest. He also acted as the investigation's official photographer. Details of the incident were kept secret by the Soviets as usual. Yarovoy avoided revealing anything beyond the official position and well-known facts. Yarovoy died in 1980 in a fatal car crash, and all of his archives, photos, diaries and manuscripts became lost. How convenient. East of the Ural Mountains, in a Russian city known as Yekaterinburg, there is a group grave where 9 hikers on this tragic and deadly expedition have been laid to rest. Despite the unsolved mystery being reopened in 2019, there was no substantial developments and the case was closed again in 2020. So what are your thoughts? Which theory do you think holds up? Get in touch and let me know. You can email me at cultvaultpodcast@gmail.com or get in touch at cultvaultpod on Twitter and Instagram. I'm your speaker, Casey. And this has been the Conspiracy Vault.